feeding your passion for local sports in the afternoon. It's the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper on your radio at 1140 AM.
Streaming audio at SacktownSports.com and the Sacktown Sports app.
You can also watch the show on YouTube at Sacktown Sports 1140. Here are the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper.
Hey, Kyle Draper, I know you don't need me to tell you this, but Kings fans are not happy today. How are you, more importantly?
I'm not happy. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. Mm-hmm. This last 24 hours has been a kick in the gut. It's been awful.
Or maybe even a little lower.
Exactly. I'm trying to keep it PG rated. You know, I know we got kids listening out there, but it has been a rough 24 hours for the Sacramento Kings.
I know yesterday about this time you tried to tell me, hey, respect your opponent and all that. And I, like we said, it's like, I know that, but still, I've just... Can't even fathom the idea of the Kings losing to that team. And yet, here we are. I think it's just a matter of, hey, we're back on the coaster. Even Malik Monk last night talked about the ups and the downs.
Yes.
I just think, Kyle, when you have a team that doesn't defend well consistently, there's going to be nights when, well, it's like if you don't defend, every game's like a box of chocolates.
Right. And here's what we know about the NBA. Every team has guys that can erupt on any given night. Jaden Ivey's a hell of a player. He looked like Michael Jordan out there last night. Like, the way he was filling it up, Jalen Duren, he looked like prime Shaq back. And so, this is what I'm talking about, Whitey. If I'm correct, I told you, don't be surprised. If
you did.
Late in this game, because this is the NBA, and this is the Sacramento Kings. And I was with you yesterday. There's no way they should. This is a must win. And I still... But,
yeah. Well, like you said, don't be surprised if it's a close game. And I said, that's fine. I don't even care. As long as I win.
As long as you get the win.
Yeah. I don't even care. And they were just so, they were dominated physically. And then, of course, today, the deadline comes, the deadline goes. Kings get one of the Lopez twins, the wrong one, and then send him out for cash consideration. So I have this on the text line. I am so bleeping mad, dude. Not a single move was made, period. What the bleep is that? From Steven from the 916. Since the Kings clearly don't care about this season as a fan, I'm going to go ahead and wave the white flag and we'll not be watching any more Kings basketball this year. It's fine as long as you listen. nothing again from the 916. Let's see here. Sitting on their behinds again while the West teams got stronger. Sat pat in the offseason. Now at another trade deadline. No muscle in the front court to help Sabonis. They can't beat the Pelicans, T-Wolves, Clippers. And then they accommodate the Bucks getting a Lopez and releasing him. So anyway, that's just a sampling of where, as you know, I'm sure you're hearing it, seeing it too, where Kings fans are today. Where we all are.
Frustrated and angry.
Yes.
Frustrated and angry.
Uh-huh.
And... you know, I'm trying to be level-headed about this, Whitey. You know, because a lot of times I can just speak from emotion. I get too worked up. So I'm trying to be level-headed about the loss last night and the inaction at the trade deadline. But I can't be. I'm upset right now. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. It hurts that we didn't do anything at the trade deadline. It hurts that we didn't do anything at the trade deadline and we lost to the Detroit Pistons. It hurts that I'm watching Phoenix get better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching OKC get better. I'm watching Dallas get better. You don't think Dallas got better?
If you follow the trend line, since they signed Grant Williams, Dallas now gave up, if I remember correctly, Seth Curry, the second player they gave up in that trade, a first-round pick, a pick swap, and 2 second-round picks for what is now P.J. Washington.
Well, whether you know, we'll know soon enough, I guess, whether it helped them or not. But I think your point, Kyle, the larger point is they tried to do something.
They're doing
right?
something. Yeah. Exactly. They, at least they're out there making moves. Exactly.
Yeah. I do like Daniel Gafford, too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
No,
yes.
You just poo-pooed the Dallas moves, and then all of a sudden at the end says, I like Daniel Gafford, though. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They got two rotation players.
Mm-hmm. OKC gets Gordon Hayward.
Dallas
gets Gafford and P.J. Washington. Phoenix gets Royce O'Neal, David Roddy. You go in the East, you know, Buddy Hield's going to the Sixers. Pat Beverly to the Bucks. The Knicks get Bojan Bogdanovic, and they get Alec Burks. Too bad they didn't get him before last night, huh?
Right.
While the Kings sit there and doing nothing. Here's what we think we know. You know, looking at, well, did they try to do anything? Sam Amick, I believe this was Sam. Team sources said there have been no talks on the Kuzma front for months and that the Kings have no interest in losing any of the rotation players who would need to be sent out to match his salary. Even beyond Kuzma, all signs, and this was before the deadline, all signs point to the Kings keeping their current core and then some intact while trying to add to it without losing any of their main rotation players. And then Hoops Hype said the Kings kicked the tires on what a package of Herter and Barnes could command on the trade market dating back to the G League showcase, league sources told Hoops Hype. So that's the little bit we know about what we think they were trying to do, but it sounds like they weren't necessarily hell-bent. They weren't necessarily determined on doing anything significant.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, earlier today when all the trades were coming out. There's two schools of thought on why Monty McNair didn't do something today. One, he didn't like the price that was, you know, being offered by the other team. But two, all the players that we talked about that we were interested in that did get moved today. You know, when you look at
Royce O'Neal was one. And,
you know, P.J. Washington. I'm going to throw in Bogdanovich from Detroit also.
Yes.
They must not have been as high on them, those guys, as we were. You know, we brought up all these names like, oh, maybe they can go get P.J. Washington. Maybe they could get Bogdanovich. The Knicks totally bamboozled the Pistons, I believe. They got Bogdanovich and Alex Burks. You telling me we couldn't make a move to get Bogdanovich? All they gave up was Quentin Grimes and 2 second-round picks. The players don't matter. The rest of the players don't matter.
Wow, disrespect to Malachi Flynn.
Yes, exactly. 100% disrespect to Malachi Flynn. I'm looking at, you know, what the Mavs were able to do. Daniel Gafford.
Yep.
And as a guy we talked about, threw around as well. They got Daniel Gafford for what? What was it?
It was Rashawn in a second-round pick.
We couldn't beat that for Daniel Gafford. No offense to Rashawn Holmes, but that's what I'm talking about. And so either A, the price was too high, and clearly it wasn't for Daniel Gafford, or B, they didn't have interest in that player.
Yeah, as far as PJ goes, and I do think that getting him was, you know, a sign that Dallas was serious about improving. They gave up, I don't want to say a lot to get him, but it wasn't nothing. You know, Grant Williams and Seth Curry and a first rounder, which I think is just top two protected. Mm-hmm. And I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm just saying that I think you're right. The latter suggestion from you is right, that the Kings just looked at this and said, you know, we could probably get some of these guys, but it would cost us things we don't want to give. I mean, Gafford, would Gafford, if Gafford was coming here, would we be excited? They got so many backup centers as it is.
How about this then? All right, why do
Gafford
you?
Gafford would have helped. Yeah, would have.
He would have helped. He's a solid player. He's a very. How about this move then? The Utah Jazz sending Kelly Olynyk and Ochai Agbaji to the Jazz for Otto Porter Jr., Kira Lewis, and a 2024 first round pick. I would have loved Kelly Olynyk and Agbaji to be here in Sacramento. Agbaji's a young two-way kind of player. I think he has an upside. Mm-hmm. Kelly Olynyk would fit in perfectly in this system. And so that's what made me think of the latter being that, because the price wasn't too high on some of these guys. Royce O'Neal. What did Phoenix have to give up for Royce O'Neal? You got that right there?
It was a very complicated three-team. I think that was the one, and I didn't write it down because it involved a number of picks. Phoenix actually, I think ultimately they got Royce O'Neal and they still ended up with some assets. So bottom line, I don't think they gave up a lot, but it was kind of a complicated three-team deal.
Exactly.
But they didn't give up much.
Gordon Hayward. Not saying he would have fit, he would have been perfect, but the Thunder didn't give up a whole lot for Gordon Hayward.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
They cleared salary cap space as well. And so they gave up Trey Mann, Davis Bertans, Vasily Micic, and draft considerations. And so that leads me to believe it's the latter. Monty McNair and the Kings did not have interest in those players that I just mentioned.
It's just so hard to stomach today, obviously, because last night you get it like, here you go. As if there was any doubt about your team, you know, you're really not as good as we hoped right now,
right,
losing to Detroit. So, hey, good to know before the deadline, right? If you're a fan, you look at that, well, all right, yeah, I was hoping that we were better than that, but all right, what are we going to do about it? Well, right now, nothing. And that's just tough to stomach.
Right. That's yeah, what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's it's like you're coming off your worst loss of the season.
Worst of the season.
And you're inactive. You don't do. And then the fact that you made the trade for Robin Lopez, like when you read the first line or two of Woj's tweet, you're like, okay. And then you get to the line, but they're going to buy him out and, you know, he's going to be a free agent. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are we doing? Like, maybe we didn't get Brook Lopez, but I would have taken Robin Lopez. Like, I'm disappointed. That's all. Like,
yeah.
I'm disappointed because this is the second straight trade deadline. They got Kessler Edwards last year. You can argue in the offseason also, you didn't make a whole lot of moves. And so it's a little frustrating.
Yeah,
frustrating.
Yeah, it is. From the 916, we need to bring back the promo on 1140 that says the Kings are running it back. LOL, Chris, frustrated Kings fan. Also from the 916, I'm done with this team. I'm boycotting the rest of the season. Why do the fans care more about this team than the players and organization? This team is soft and uninspired. I think every single player outside Sabonis should be on the trade block. See you next season.
Every single player. Woo! That includes De'Aaron Fox, he's saying, too. But that's and Kings fans, I get it. You go to bed angry, and basically you wake up angry today. Basically, midway through the day, you're like, ah.
And you're hanging on to that hope that, well, maybe they'll do something today, right?
Exactly.
Well, what are we going to do? Ah! Nothing!
Yeah, nothing.
It's tough.
916-339-1140. I want to get that out there. 916-339-1140. You can call in, voice your frustrations, because me and you can't be the only ones frustrated. People on the text line can't be the only one frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, this is a tough day to be a Kings fan right now. Because
frustrated and angry.
Yeah, frustrated and angry. You said it.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody else, at least they did something. You know, the buyers we talked about, they're going for it. OKC. They're going for it. You know, some of these other, Phoenix, they're going for it. Dallas, they're going for it. The Kings, right now, we're sort of, we're just going to play the long game.
The only hope now is the buyout market, but A, there's obviously not a lot of great players available there, and B, for the buyout market, it's like free agency, right? The guy has to want to come.
Right,
got to
want to come here.
Yeah.
And usually what winds up happening, and fortunately the league has rules now where a team like Boston, because they're so far over the cap, they can't just stockpile and get buyout. But usually what happens is a free agent will say, you know what, who has the best shot at winning? And I'm going to go join that team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I, like everybody else, you know, I'm following along on Twitter, on the computer, watching for updates. And I turned on the ESPN trade show and I'm watching. It's right about before the deadline. And Malika Andrews, and it's almost like she said it as an aside. And the Kings were to pick up Robin Lopez. I was like, what?
Right.
What did you say? What? I couldn't believe it. And then, you know, and I didn't realize right away that they were going to, I didn't understand that at all. And then it turns out they're going to release him for cash consideration.
Just for some
money. So that's what we got. Cash considerations.
Well, hold on. Let's give cash considerations a chance to see what they can do with rotational minutes.
Considerations has a tremendous mixtape.
Yeah,
exactly,
like,
right?
Let's not just dismiss cash considerations until we see them in the lineup.
I think the timing was just bad for the Kings in this sense. I think they pretty much had decided, Kyle, we're probably not going to do anything, and then it just even looks worse. That would have been, as we've been saying for weeks, ooh, that's going to be a hard sell.
Right.
But then for it to come after, you know, they probably figured, we're not going to lose to Detroit.
Right.
But that's why it looks even worse, and it's harder to stomach.
It's harder to stomach. And, you know, Monty and Wes and those guys, they stay even keeled. You know, they don't listen to the outside pressure or the noise and everything like that. But, man, It's a tough day right now.
Yeah.
This is hard to swallow.
You want to take a quick time out and go to Drape's Takes, or you want to keep it here?
No, we can take a quick. Yeah, let's do a quick one. Let me get myself together.
All right,
together.
We'll give everybody a chance to catch our breaths here. Drape's Takes are next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
The San Francisco 49ers, the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Super Bowl 58, live from Las Vegas, Sunday, February 11th on Sactown Sports. Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
Let's be honest, the King's Talk, not especially pleasant this hour. Sean from Placerville on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, Drapes. Giving up my season tickets next year.
Just because of last night and today, Sean? You ready to say, I'm done, I'm not watching?
Maybe you'll rethink it.
There's still a winning team, 29-21, they're still okay. Mm-hmm. Life is still okay, Sean, jeez, how long have you had season tickets, I wonder?
The Boo Birds were out early last night.
They were out. They were out big time. And Malik Monk did not care for those Boo Birds either. And so I'm with the fans, though. You know, my take on that is the best way, I think, for fans to show their displeasure is to boo. Like, what else you want them to do? Throw things? Lead a game early?
Mm-hmm.
Don't show up? Don't buy tickets?
No,
and
I
so
agree.
I think booing, that's an appropriate response for what we saw last night.
Here's what's disturbing to me, because sitting there last night and watching that and hearing that, and we've had this discussion before, and I understand, and fans have a right to boo, no question. But, you know, typically we boo because we feel like somebody's not giving their best effort. And this team, I don't feel like that was the case. They didn't play well. They did not play well, and they were getting beaten on just like a drum to the rack. But sometimes it's like they're just not a good defensive team. And I don't know how much of it is, oh, they're dogging it. I don't know. I don't see a lot of dog in this team, but I do see there are too many nights like last night where they're clearly not good enough.
You know what I didn't see, though, Whitey, is the sense of urgency. It started out fine, A-okay. It started out, but then the Pistons came back with their haymaker. Kings came back. Closing the third on a nice little run, took the lead, got back in the game. And then we just did. There's levels to this.
Yep.
We let the Pistons, I mean.
Well, you got physically manhandled by a 7-win team.
Yes.
Physically outclassed.
Exactly. And so, and I know Mike Brown talked about this yesterday. People are like, you know, this is not a scheme problem. This is, they're not following the game plan. And if Mike Brown calls it unacceptable, I'm going to call it unacceptable also, because I know what they talk about in terms of closing out and how to defend. Like, I've been in some of those meetings. Trust me, the narrative on Alec Burks was he's a hot guy. You got it. When you close out on him, you got to close out with hands up above the three-point line. Don't close out to the three-point line. You got to close out.
And you can't close out short.
Can't close out. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, how many times did we see that? And Mike Brown said it yesterday, too. Our guys don't raise their hand to defend a shot until the guy's already up. By that time, it's too late in the NBA. And so this isn't a scheme thing. This isn't a Mike Brown thing. This one is on the players. And I go back to something I said about a month ago when they were struggling. We need player leadership. We need guys on the floor holding each other accountable. Other than Kevin Huerter, maybe Domas, maybe Malik, I'm not seeing any, you know what, this is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Huerter got ejected, and I'm okay with that. Good for him, because at least he's pissed off about something. Some of these guys, I don't know if they're angry about these losses right now, and that's concerning to me, because there's no way, Whitey, here we are in game 50. There is no way that you can have all the losses that they've had this season and then come out like that last night. And then, you know, De'Aaron Fox, you know, didn't seem to bother him. I'm sure, hopefully it does bother him on the inside, but he's projecting, it's just 1 of 82. No, it's not 1 of 82, because each game matters so much. At the end of the season, when you are playing in a play-in tournament, I'm going to hold up a sheet right here on this air.
Absolutely.
And say, Charlotte, Portland, Detroit, I could go down the list. These games right here are why your butts are at home early in April and didn't get into May and didn't get into the playoffs. It's so frustrating right now, man.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to...
Oh, what we got? Drapes takes? Oh, my gosh. Let's do it.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Kings fans, you got to do me a favor. This isn't necessarily a take. It's just a plea to Sacramento Kings fans. Can we please leave Jaden Ivey's name out of your mouth? I don't want to hear no more comparisons between Jaden Ivey and Keegan Murray and look who we got, look who you got. That talk is done. Let these guys develop. Jaden Ivey is a hell of a ball player. He proved it last night. And so going into the game, I heard people chirping about how, you know, oh, I'm so glad we didn't get Jaden Ivey. I'm so glad we got Keegan Murray. Jaden Ivey is nice. He is nice. And this dude's only a second-year player. Like, he took over that game. He was the best player on the floor last night.
Yep.
When you got all NBA guys, multiple All-Stars, a number 4 overall pick, he outscored Keegan 37-0. So we need to leave Jaden Ivey's name out of our mouth in a negative way.
He was the best player on the floor, and everybody on the floor knew it.
Everybody on the floor knew it. So that's just a little observation, a little plea to Sacramento Kings fans. As for the Kings, I'm going to say this. The All-Star break can't come soon enough for this team. This team is gassed. They're tired. They're shaken up. Mentally, I feel like this team feels like they've been in a blender this last month or so. Malik Monk talked about it, the roller coaster ride up and down. This team needs a week to get away from each other, go enjoy your families, and come back for the stretch run. Because the way it's going now, we're looking at De'Aaron Fox with 12 points. I'll get to him in a minute. We're looking at Keegan Murray with 0 points last night. I'll get to these guys need a break, I think, Whitey. Mm-hmm.
You're right. I still think the bottom line is they're not good enough defensively, and I think that's the main problem, and we're going to be on the roller coaster all year long, and there's going to be a few games where, hey, they're playing well. When you can't guard people, you can't consistently win in the NBA, and that's what I'm disappointed about. They didn't address that at the deadline.
Yeah, you're letting Detroit shoot 55% from
three range. Whatever they wanted.
50, like, they got whatever they wanted. And that brings me to the players, and I'm going to call two guys out specifically. I'm going to start off with De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox, you can't be cool. You can't be too chill. If you want to be Tatum, if you want to be... I'm looking at Donovan Mitchell tear up everybody he goes against. De'Aaron Fox cannot go 5 of 14, 12 points, and miss all 4 of your free throws? Foxy, you're the face of the franchise. You're the leader. You got to be better. I don't know what's going on.
We need De'Aaron Fox. We need M-E-E-D.
100%, Mike Brown. What's going on with De'Aaron Fox? I've given him a pass. I said everything's okay. He's banged up. But the eye test last night looked like I'd rather De'Aaron Fox be 5 of 25 than 5 of 14.
It's got to be the shoulder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to be. And it's affecting his shooting. And then the rest of it, you're right. Maybe he's not approaching it the best way after these losses. Maybe there's a better approach. Hopefully the approach with his teammates is different than what we're getting publicly.
Can we talk about my guy, Keegan Murray?
Keegan!
He didn't make any shots yesterday, so Scott Moak didn't do that.
He only took 4, right?
Right. That's what I'm talking about, Whitey. Mm-hmm. I said it yesterday.
Yeah.
Keegan has to be better. I don't know if it's on Mike Brown to get him more involved. I don't know if it's on Domas and Fox to get him. Is it on Keegan Murray? But what we saw last night, unacceptable from Keegan Murray. He only played 20 minutes, but he was a non-factor. He shot an airball 3 from the corner last night in the third quarter. He wasn't there, so people want to get on Mike Brown. Mike, you only played him 20 minutes. Didn't play at all in the fourth quarter.
He was in foul trouble.
Keegan didn't earn to be on the floor in the fourth quarter. You got to earn minutes. We know how Mike Brown is. He's going to go with the guys who are playing well that night. Keegan, I was disappointed last night. He has to be better. 4 shot attempts for Keegan Murray?
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to, remember, on the road trip, he had a stretch 3 games in 4 where he scored 5 points. That's going on with him?
It's 11 times this year now where he's taken fewer than 10 shots in a game. 5 of the last 6 games included.
If Harrison Barnes had that stat line, phone lines would be lit up.
Mm-hmm.
Trade HB.
Yeah.
He's got to go. We can't give Keegan a pass. He's too good of a player. We got to demand excellence from this guy. He's the number four overall pick. He has to be better for this team.
Yeah. You know, if somebody didn't know that much about basketball, watch that game last night, and then you told them, you know, Detroit's missing a ton of players, they would say, they must be the greatest team of all time.
Right.
Right?
They're missing three of their top seven players last night.
Yeah, they destroyed the other team.
Unbelievable. That's Drape's takes, man. I'm disappointed, man. I'm flabbergasted. I'm just like, what happened?
You almost say
bamboozled? I got hoodwinked last night because we all thought, Detroit. You know what? Going into that game, I thought Adam Silver did us a solid. He said, these guys got a seven-game road trip. Let me give them somebody a little easier when they got back home. Thank God for the Pistons. And the Pistons smacked us up last night.
You think maybe Frankie can make you feel better?
Heck no.
Frankie.
Frankie's like Mr. Rogers, right? He's going to try to make us feel better, but I don't know.
Frankie Cardicelli on Where the Kings Go From Here. He joins us next. Sacktown Sports Drive, guys.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
On a more pleasant note, I believe today is the anniversary of Jason Williams' first game as a King. You know, he played in a lockout year, so the season started late.
Okay.
So that's something you can remember today by. Hopefully not the fact that the Kings did nothing at the deadline. What do you think is upsetting people more today, Drapes? The fact that they lost to Detroit or the fact that they stood pat at the deadline?
I think that they lost to Detroit, to be honest with you. I think that's inexcusable. That may be the worst loss in the last 5 years. May be the worst loss in my tenure here in Sacramento.
Is it worse than the game where the fan threw up on the court and then Luke Walton got fired the next day?
Yes.
Ooh, that's more embarrassing. But in terms of a loss?
Yes.
One game, this was pretty bad.
Let's see if our Sacktown Sports Kings Insider agrees. Joining us, the one and only Frankie Cardicelli. Frankie, thanks for being with us. You were just at practice today, right?
No, so I actually got held up with the post-deadline write-up. I got a little immersed into a piece I wrote. Make sure people out there check it out.
Yes.
I just finished and published it on the website. Some thoughts, maybe a mental vent session on my behalf. But Brendan Nunez and I, we split duties today, and he's down there right now. I'm not sure if we're actually in yet. I think that they're having to do the wait and get let in situation. But we'll be down there tomorrow. But an interesting day, interesting 24 hours for the Sacramento Kings and the fans. And good callback by Kyle to that Luke Walton vomit night. I would say that was a kind of a different, like, different situation as far as a just miserable couple of hours. But yeah, not a great couple of sequences here as far as last night's loss into the deadline today. But little unpleasant times going on right now in the Kings fandom.
What upsets you more, the deadline inactivity or the loss to the Pistons last night?
I'm always going to stick with on the floor. I mean, when you see the Kings, who had a pretty much fully healthy roster last night, I don't think there's really any excuses at this point with where this team is and where they want to be, the spot they want to be considered as far as a true contender in the Western Conference. You face a team that has six wins, and they're missing their two top scorers, a combined 42 points per game in Cade Cunningham and Bojan Bogdanovic before he was traded, of course, but there's no excuse. The fact that the Kings let their guard down, and we've seen them do it again and again against these teams that are beneath them in the standings, or more so the worst teams in the league, like the Charlottes, the Portlands, and now Detroit, they just don't really seem to have that same edge at the beginning of games. And you saw Detroit kind of hang around and go on a run late in the second quarter, and in the fourth, it just was completely all Detroit. So I'm definitely on the court, but the deadline, for different reasons, a disappointment as well.
Frankie Cardicelli joining us, Sacktown Sports Kings Insider. Frankie, when you look at what transpired last night, what stood out to you? Is it De'Aaron Fox's 12 points and missing four free throws? Is it Keegan Murray non-existent? Jaden Ivey? Like, what was the issue last night? What was the biggest takeaway storyline last night?
I think De'Aaron Fox is being the motor of this team, and we've seen it happen a couple times this year now. When he's not right, the Kings really aren't right. I mean, we've seen what Domantas Sabonis can do every single night, and you kind of come to expect it. He's almost averaging a triple-double. He's been doing it for over a year now, part of that time with a broken hand. He's been incredible since he's been in a Kings uniform. But especially when Fox doesn't have it, and he really didn't have those shots in the key that he usually knocks down those 8-10 footers when he's around the rim. I mean, he usually is automatic with those. That's why he won Clutch Player of the Year last year. He just kind of gets into the paint and can make teams pay. He doesn't look like himself right now, and I think he's averaging around 22, 23 points per game over his last 10 games on 41% shooting from the field, 30% from three. The assist numbers are down. The steals are up. I mean, he's playing good defense, but the offense is what makes him truly an all-NBA talent. And when he's not knocking down those shots, the Kings really have to kind of pick it up across the board. And what we've seen from guys like Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter, they've been able to find those internal improvements. But the Kings really haven't had everybody firing on all cylinders, you know, more than maybe for a one- or two-game sample size. They haven't had last year's, you know, record-setting offense, that type of impact, which is very hard to replicate. But when you have all those guys firing on all cylinders, the Kings are a very hard team to beat, and we just haven't seen it happen. And Fox is the head of the snake, and when he doesn't have it, Kings suffer, and we saw that last night.
Frankie, I'm going to go ahead with Frankie gets carded now because it leads to a question. Get it out of the way. And I know you can't see it, but this is actually a 2023 Jaden Ivey card. And it's a very nice card. And, of course, he was the man last night, and you so often are the man for us here, Frankie. So you've earned that. But my question is, you know, he just lit up the Kings. What stood out to you about Coach Brown's explanation for where the defense broke down last night?
I mean, it really just kind of comes to the on-ball situation. And I think Fox even just kind of gave credit and tipped the cap to Jaden Ivey, who maybe he was playing with a little bit of extra motivation, maybe a chip on his shoulder. Last night was the matchup we were looking for with the 2022 top five pick showdown. Keegan Murray, fourth pick against Jaden Ivey. Keegan gets in early foul trouble, who I think Keegan was picking him up early on, gets in the foul trouble, four first half fouls, don't really see much from the rest of the game. Clearly on the scoreboard or the box score, you see Jaden Ivey with 35 and Keegan with zero. Looks bad. Looks horrible. But you got to tip your cap to Jaden Ivey. I mean, no matter what the Kings are kind of throwing at him. And again, part of that is because of lapses and defensive rotations. A lot of times he got free and you just see guys just sprinting, just trying to close out as fast as they could. Just the Kings were always a step or two behind on those rotations. And it's not really just an Ivey problem. I think it's just a matter of the Kings defense. This happens to a lot of teams. I mean, it's been like a game of which team's going to have a season high in 3-point field goal percentage on any given night. I mean, we've seen it happen time and time again. Last night, Detroit 50% from three. You're not going to win many games in the NBA when opponents are shooting 50% from three. It's just not going to happen. And especially when you factor in the rebound discrepancy. But again, it's a matter of one of those games. I mean, we've seen it in the NBA a lot this year. Guys are just scoring at a level we haven't seen really before. Jaden Ivey, a guy who has talent, who has shown he could be a player at this level. He's starting to kind of come into his own as Detroit figures out what their future is going to look like. And last night we saw kind of a glimpse into maybe what they're hoping he can turn into. And it's a very scary thing for opponents in the East.
Frankie Cardicelli joining us. Frankie, Keegan Murray, what's going on with him, man? I'm looking at the numbers. Last four games, 5 points per game, only getting up 6.5 shots. Why is he being lost in the offense? What's happening?
Yeah, I kind of was looking at that today in that write-up I put up about how Harrison Barnes, his field goal attempts. I mean, with Harrison Barnes getting more volume, he was at around, I think, 7-8 at field goal attempts per game, and he's up to 16 per game over this 9-10 game stretch. Keegan's fallen from 13.1 on the season down to below, I think, 8-9 on all of those games over the past 6-7 games. So It's kind of like that situation where it's been a concern with if one of those forwards are going to get going, what happens to the other? And it's kind of like a teeter-totter situation. Whose turn is it to kind of contribute on any given night? And we've seen Harrison Barnes, who last night wasn't a great night for him either, but over the course of the last 10 games, he's been playing some good basketball, some of the best basketball he's had in a Kings uniform. But Keegan Murray suffered as far as getting more volume or less volume, and he just looks like a different player right now. But the foul trouble last night was kind of out of character for him. We don't see him usually get into that much of a situation where he has to be on the bench that much. 20 minutes played last night, that's not usually what happens with Keegan. But something that the Kings are kind of trying to figure out right now as far as the offense wasn't working. They were trying to figure things out. Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes have locked in. Kevin Huerter shooting 45% from three over the past 12 games. He was great last night. Harrison Barnes, like we talked about, just he's been playing well. But is there a way to get those guys all going in unison? And that's asking a lot. But last year, that's what happened a lot of the time. I mean, it mostly was Keegan, Kevin, Fox, and Sabonis, but we haven't really seen all these guys kind of going in unison. For the Kings this season, it feels like it's been a matter of which guy's going to put the team on his back and can someone maybe help, and it's not more of a cohesive group effort. It's more of a two-man thing, and that's a problem. So that's in the Kings. Now, if the deadline's over, no help's walking through that door. You got to hope they can figure that out internally, and they've done it before, and I hope they can kind of go back to what they did last year and see if they can find success there.
You know, this is why I love having Frankie on, especially after nights like last night, trade deadline today. He's so calm. He's so smooth. He tells you what's going on.
He compared you to Mr. Rogers earlier.
Did you hear that, Frankie? Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's a good thing, right? I mean, I hope.
Heck no, not in sports. Life, you know, if I was a parent and you were my son, I'd be proud of you, yes. But in sports talk radio, Frankie, I'm upset. I'm frustrated. Like, you're being measured. I know all those things. Like, how can this happen, though? Where you cover this team. You see these guys. Like, where's the pulse at from these guys? I shouldn't have it. Whitey shouldn't have it. The fan base shouldn't have it. Mike Brown shouldn't be the only one. Like, what is going on? This cannot happen, what we saw the last 24 hours, Frankie.
No, I agree, Drapes. I think to that, I would just say why I am the way I am right now is I'm just, I guess it's to get dark. I'm a broken man inside as far as the Kings go.
That's the worst.
I grew up a Kings fan, man. I grew up watching the Kings in the early 2010s, 2009, all those teams. I was there somewhere in Arco, like a lot of people listening, watching those teams. So I think a lot of those have gone through that and kind of experienced the horror that we had to see unfold. I mean, things are bad right now. Losing to Detroit, ridiculous. And the deadline, we're going to have a lot of talks about that over the coming months. Again, the Kings have had many chances to make these moves to try to upgrade the roster. They had a chance last summer. They had a chance during the season while other teams were making moves. They were obviously involved with Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby. Nothing happened. And again, with today, a lot of people are very frustrated on social media, and it's very warranted. I mean, the Kings are in a good spot, I guess, overall, 29-21, but they expect more from themselves. This team expects more from themselves. The fans expect more from this team.
Yeah, and Frankie. Yeah.
Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox, yeah, they are calculated. They are not going to make a move just to make a move. I have no doubt there were deals that were presented to them, and they said no. I mean, I don't think it was a matter of the phone was turned off or off the hook, and Monty and Wes are hanging out watching TV or something. They're working. They're doing all they can. But nothing came up. Nothing came to fruition. And it's for a lot of teams out there as well. I mean, a lot of Laker fans and Warrior fans are losing their minds right now, too. It's not just the Kings. So it was a very dead deadline, I think, overall. Just there wasn't many sexy moves out there. A lot of them were kind of happening early on with the Anunoby and Pascal Siakam moves. But it's a frustrating time, no doubt. I'm just not going to – I'm going to let the season unfold and see what happens. But obviously, this team has holes, and we're going to have to see if they can address them internally. There's no other choice.
Yeah, Frankie, I'm glad you addressed that because there's this rumor that Wes and Monty were just – they were watching Styles and Watkins on YouTube right before the deadline, and they weren't doing anything, but I don't think that was true. But Frankie, he speaks from the heart because last night before the game when we were having dinner, he showed me – on his phone, video of the first Kings game that he ever went to. We started talking about that for some reason. And it was C-Web against Denver, I think, wasn't it, Frankie? He had the scoop shot to win. And, he said right then he was hooked. So when he talks about how much he hurts, he's really hurting today. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it just, I'm as good at hiding it, You've got to be good at hiding it. You've got to be good at hiding it. It's a long season, though. Everybody listening, anyone feeling upset about it? I mean, the Kings are such a shocking, ridiculous team sometimes that it would not surprise me at all if they go out tomorrow and have a great game against Denver. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I mean, I'm just saying the way that this team is, it's frustrating, I know, but this upcoming stretch is so difficult that a lot of people are kind of, echoing the same sentiment that, wow, the Kings, their next nine games are against contenders. I wouldn't be surprised if they go 6-3. I wouldn't either because they are a team that they get up for big games and they get down for games against Detroit. So, bad couple of, bad 24-hour stretch, but it's not the end of the world. Not yet.
Thank you, Frankie. We appreciate it. When we come right back, we'll look at NBA trade deadline winners and losers, and we'll get to your calls at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Drive, guys, Sacktown Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Here's a difficult question for Kings fans today. I don't know the answer. I think after last night, it's fair to bring this up, Drapes. And this kind of gets to the heart of it. Normally, it wouldn't even be fair to bring something like this up. But today, I think it is.
Okay.
There's one of the Major League movies. I think it's three or I don't know. Three or how many did they do? There's a Japanese player in the Major League movie, and he comes over from Japan. He's playing, with the team, And he questions the courage of one of his teammates. And he says, you know, he's a Japanese speaker, so his English is a little, it's not expert. He's not an expert speaker. He says, "You have no maburus." Talking to one of his teammates, "You have no maburus." Is that really where we are with this King team? Can we look at these Kings and say, sometimes as a team, you have no maburus.
Maburus.
Yeah. You could probably find that somewhere, Kyle, by the way.
Yeah, we might need to play that.
From the widely successful movie Major League 3.
Yes, exactly. Box office smash, right?
I don't think it was from 2, but anyway.
That's concerning to me, Whitey, and because I think, if I'm being honest, that's what it's looking like. It's looking like we don't have any maburus.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know guys care. We see it. We see Domas. We see Herder. We see Malik. But when the going gets tough, we don't push back. We don't fight back. We don't, you know, slam a ball. We don't commit a hard foul. We don't challenge each other. At times it looks like they just accept whatever is happening. They just accept Jaden Ivey going off of 37. They just accept Jalen Duren getting every rebound. They just accept the Pistons defense locking you down in the first half after you go on your initial run. It seems like we have one gear. And when somebody punches us or knocks us off we don't know how to get back on track and then, you know, push even harder. And when I first arrived here in Sacramento, that was one of my biggest criticisms of the team and of the franchise. They were front runners to an extent. Teams knew all you got to do is punch the Kings in the mouth once and they'll go run and hide. They'll fold. I'm not saying that's where we are now, but at times that's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. And that's so frustrating to me.
It is.
And that's why we've said it for the last year, Whitey, however long we've been doing this show, however long we've been talking about the Kings, we need somebody in the locker room that's going to shake things up.
You have no maburus.
There you go.
There it is, right there. Mm-hmm. They had no maburus. Seriously.
Look that way sometimes.
We need somebody in the locker room, and I'm going to tell it to you like this. Kyle Ledbetter, I'm going to tell it to you like this. I'm going to tell it to everybody. We need somebody in the locker room who hates losing.
Have no maburus.
I don't feel like our guys hate losing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like our guys don't like losing, but they say, oh, there's another game tomorrow. We'll be okay. No, you got to go home, stew on it. You got to go home, get in the gym. I told the story of DeJounte Murray, who had a bad game on the road. His team lands at the airport in Atlanta at 1:30, and what does he do? He goes to the gym and gets up shots. I feel like at times our guys, once they leave the gym, once they leave the arena, you got the family, you got the home life. I get it. I understand that. And you forget about it. But after a loss like last night, Whitey,
mm-hmm.
they should be out there running laps right now.
339-1140.
You have no maturity.
1-800-920-1140. Hate to even ask that question, but after nights like last night, it's fair to wonder. Let's talk to Mike on Sacktown Sports. Thanks for hanging, Mike. What's up?
Well, first off, guys, you know, I just want to talk about the trade deadline. We didn't make a move. Everybody knows that. But could they possibly make a move with the rotation, right? Mm. I would like to see Domas as a 4 and maybe Lynn or McGee as a 5. And then I feel like keeping Barnes is actually a good move for the Kings because you want a player like Barnes. A lot of people are bashing Barnes. You want a player like that. He doesn't get teased. By the way, Herder, somebody explained how he got a tee last night and ejected. That's strange. But Barnes, to me, is like the locker room guy. As far as the Kings not having a dog, they kind of showed that earlier this year that we're not going to get bullied by Nurkic. And you had your two top players offensively, Fox, and I believe Monk was in that guy's face, like, get off of our guy. Davion Mitchell, I'm kind of happy he stayed in town. He doesn't get a lot of points, but he does the small thing. And maybe they realize, hey, this is who we are. We're not trading. Everybody's still in the same locker room. It's the same locker room that almost beat the Warriors. What do you guys think about that?
Thank you, Mike. I know you're not crazy about the at the four.
We saw that last night. The Pistons went small. You got to go small, too. Like, Domas is not running around the perimeter guarding guys, you know? And then offensively, you know, JaVale and Alex Lynn aren't great outside shooters. So, you know, it just clogs everything up. We're going to have Jay Triano coming on at 3:15.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm going to ask him, because he's been around the league, he's coached in the league. Do you need, because we got a room full of nice guys. If our daughters went to prom with any of our players, we'd be happy. But do you need some jerks on your roster too? Do you need some guys who, you know, going to get upset after a loss? Like, I know it's 1 of 82. I understand that. But when the fan base is booing you, when the fan base is frustrated, we have to acknowledge that. And I'm talking about the players. We got to say what happened out there, our fans deserve better. And I think, you know, what De'Aaron said last night, and hopefully Kyle will effort this for the show sometime. I get it, De'Aaron. It's 1 of 82. But after a loss like that, I don't think fans want to hear that. They don't want to hear 1 of 82.
What I want to hear right now is Bill. Bill joins us on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Real good. My comment is that I think the Kings did last night what has never been done in the history of the NBA. And you know what that is?
What's that?
Being favored by 13 points and losing by 13 points.
Mm.
Has anyone brought that up before?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know that stat. I didn't know that.
They lost by 13, and they were favored to win the game by 13. And that is probably the history of the NBA. I don't think it's ever been done before. That's my comment of the day.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
There probably have been times when someone was favored by more and lost by more, but I understand what you're saying, the symmetry of 13 and 13.
Yeah.
However you slice it, it was hard to understand watching it, Kyle. I assume third quarter, you know, it's the NBA. Okay, the Kings are going to make their run. I don't know where it's going to end up, but they're going to make their run. Then they make the run and they get the lead. And I thought, okay, well, all right, here they go. They'll find a way to finish. And then
fourth
quarter was like, wow, the Pistons on the road are like, let's show you let's give you a clinic and how to close a win on the road.
Detroit scored 31 in the first, 39 in the second, 27 in the third, and 36 in the fourth. Go back to what you've been saying the last hour. The defense is bad. It's just not a good defense. Not when Detroit can come into your house and knock down 17 threes, 55%. Like, even if you don't hit your shots against a team like Detroit, who really only got one or two real good offensive weapons, you should be able to lock in, and you let that team score 133.
Mm-hmm. And I think until the Kings are better defensively, significantly better, which it's hard for me to imagine this group getting a lot better defensively, until they are, I think we're going to be on the roller coaster. That was my takeaway last night. As disappointing as it was, it's like, I get it now. I mean, that's just... I was hoping they'd do something today, but until they do, I think that's where we are, and you just have to hope that they can figure out how to hang on, and who knows, last year, you know, they were worse defensively, and they almost got out of the first round, so fingers crossed, let's go.
Yeah, 100%, and, you know, there's still 32 games left to go, still time to turn it around, but we've been saying that for 2 months now, and it's the same problems here in February that we experienced in November and December, and that's frustrating.
Yep. Jay Triano coming up 3:15, as you said. And up next,